I think we'll let
the visited Austin for the first time in December, and just the UT football stadium. I don't even watch Friday Night Lights. So.
Yeah.
Sorry? I wonder if anybody was secretly streaming the argument.
I know. You could with just your phone at this point. Slip it in. All right, Mr. Baker, I think things have settled down enough. And our next case is Grosch against City of Springfield, and we'll hear from Mr. Baker.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is James Baker. I'm appearing this morning on behalf of three Springfield Police Patrol officers, Kevin Grosch, Scott Allen, and Greg Schaefer. Before the district court, they maintained a claim of reverse discrimination. And the issue before this court, as we view it, is whether this case should be reinstated in view of the enactment into law of the Ledbetter Act. I want to take the court back to May of 2007 when the Supreme Court decided Ledbetter. At that time, this case was awaiting trial. The officers had been successful in resisting the city's motion for summary judgment. The district court concluded that there were tribal issues of fact concerning the issue of race discrimination. It concluded that a state court judgment entered in 2003 did not have race judicata effect with respect to compensation received by the officers subsequent to that date. And adopting the paycheck accrual theory, it concluded that the officers' claims were timely.
So, Mr. Baker, let me ask you, at what moment do you think the illegality arose here? Because initially, when your clients took, you know, they quit, they were not in the department for a while, and then they came back as brand new hires, that was all consistent with a policy that the department was following. So in the manner more or less like Holteen, you know, nothing was wrong then. So at what instant does illegality infect this?
In my view, the initial illegality occurred at the time my clients requested that they be treated in parity with the black police officer.
Mr. Schluter.
Correct.
So that would be December 11th, 2002?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So, all right, that's helpful. So Mr. Schluter has already come back pursuant to this individual ordinance that the city has passed. And your clients somehow or another comes to their attention that maybe there isn't a policy anymore about coming in brand new when you've left.
There's an intermediate step in between. The ordinance was challenged by the police officers' union, and the circuit court invalidated the ordinance. So for some period of time, the ordinance was off the books. It went up on appeal, and the state appellate court concluded the union did not have standing and reinstated the ordinance. It was at that point in time that my clients asked for parity and compensation.
Okay.
I'd like to address, if I might, the city's contention that the state court judgment has race judicata effect on all of the officers' claims.
And to be clear, you're not talking about the union case. You're talking about the private case.
I am talking about my client's case in the state court proceeding, and I think the judgment in that case was entered in November of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Under Illinois race judicata law, one of the essential elements to invoke that doctrine is that there is a common cause of action. And it is our view that a cause of action essentially means that you have to join together all possible claims relating to a wrong. And the question becomes, what is the wrong, and when does the wrong occur? I think that in view of the decision or in view of the enactment of the Ledbetter Act and in view of the Bazemore case, that there are a series of wrongs. There were wrongs when my clients were denied compensation consistent with the officer, but each time they received a paycheck based upon what we believe was a discriminatory compensation decision, there was a continuing wrong.
So just to play with the counterfactual, you would agree, I suppose, that had Congress never passed this legislation under the Supreme Court's Ledbetter decision, the only wrong your client suffered was on December 11th, 2002, and as a single wrong, that would have had to have been included in the state court litigation that they filed, and there would be res judicata effect.
It seems...
It's a statute that...
Right. It seems to me that that's what the Ledbetter court decided. It rejected the paycheck accrual theory and said the cause of action occurs when the discriminatory act happened and anything after that is reflective of that. It's our belief that the Ledbetter Act essentially repudiated that particular case law.
I don't think that's a view unique to you, but I think if you read the congressional findings.
it's essentially our position that since the Ledbetter Act defines an unlawful employment practice to not only be the initial discriminatory act, but also any acts that are reflective of that, specifically paychecks that are issued as a byproduct of that discriminatory act, we're talking about separate causes of action. And in short, the paycheck accrual theory that was good law in this circuit prior to Ledbetter continues to be good law today, and we have separate causes of action.
Why isn't this just the continuing effect of certain aspects of the city's seniority system that were legal when these men initially came back to work?
Well,
is the city, in your view, required always to have the same seniority system?
Seniority system is fine. Our bone of contention is that the city made an exception to that seniority system when they enacted an ordinance which benefited one individual and one individual only. And the effect of that ordinance essentially is this. Under the city's compensation arrangement, it's kind of a stair-step approach. The longer you've been working for the city, the higher you go up on the stairway and the higher your salary becomes. When my clients left the city, they were three or four steps, let's say, up the stairway. They left, they came back, they attempted to come back earlier and couldn't, they went through the rules, and they had to start over. They started at the bottom and worked up. And that's the system. We don't take any issue with that system. What's fair for one is fair for all. But the city enacted an ordinance which said, we're going to not apply that system to one individual. And that individual was gone from the city, was gone for a short period of time. He came back, and instead of starting from the bottom, he started three or four steps up. And essentially, he was compensated under a different compensation arrangement than my clients.
As far as federal law goes, that's fine as long as race was not a decisive factor.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Correct.
And you would say that there are at least issues of fact on whether this ordinance was motivated by race.
Not only would I say it, that's what the district court said.
Yeah, I know that's the last whereas clause. Can I just, to clarify one aspect of the record, ask you, were your clients receiving paychecks after the state court action was resolved, but before they started this? Are they still police officers in Springfield?
Yes. They were
continuously police throughout all of this
correct.
Time.
Correct. I think two of them retired while the case was pending in the district court. But, yes, they were police officers throughout.
Okay.
How much money are we talking about here?
The record is silent on that, Your Honor.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, and I wish I could tell you, but I can't.
Okay.
I don't know. I think the city's contention that Ledbetter Act should not apply to this case because it's not a compensation decision. And we take issue with that for the reasons I've already noted, that we're dealing with a stair-step approach and the harm my client suffered with an award not given parity with Officer Schluter is they were denied compensation that they would have received had they been compensated under the same way he was.
Well, that's why I was asking you whether one should think of this as a seniority system case or as, you know, promotions up the stair steps kind of case or other kinds of characterizations.
I don't think it should be considered as a challenge to a seniority system because we didn't take any issue with that system. What we took issue was the fact that the city made an exception to that system. And I guess in some respect, it's certainly not factually identical, but it's somewhat similar to the situation that was presented in the Ledbetter case where Mrs. Ledbetter claimed after she retired that her compensation was tied to employment evaluations. And I don't think she was saying that that necessarily was wrong. What she was saying is that applying that particular system, she was evaluated less favorably than males who were doing no better than she.
So your clients wouldn't necessarily get paid the same amount as Mr. Schluter. I guess what you're saying is their pay should be based on the sum of the time they were previously in the department and the time they've been back in the department, just as his was, whatever that number of years or months
that's right.
would be.
That's what we are claiming.
Okay.
I haven't completed the remarks that I intended to make to the court. If there are no other
questions. Just about in your rebuttal time, so why don't you save the rest of it.
All right. Thank you much.
From Mr. Martinez. Good morning.
Good morning. If it pleases the court, I'm Frank Martinez, representing the city of Springfield. It is our contention that when the ordinance passed allowing credit to Mr. Schluter for his prior service, that's when the alleged discriminatory acts occurred, is when the adoption of that was the adoption of the ordinance, not this payroll or not the paycheck accrual theory that's being advanced by Mr. Baker.
Why does that matter if, in fact, the Ledbetter statute, I'll say, applies to this case? Because a new period of limitations begins with each issuance of a paycheck. And if the plaintiffs, Mr. Gresh and the others, are receiving a lower are subject to a formula for a lower salary, and that formula itself is tainted by race discrimination, does it really matter whether all of these problems began with the passage of the ordinance or whether they began at the moment that the plaintiffs asked for different treatment than they were getting?
I believe it does, Your Honor, because if you're looking at a discrete act of discrimination, that is different from what you've just
But I'm telling
analyzed.
You that the legislature, I mean, that was the whole thing, that the Ledbetter, that Bazemore and the Ledbetter Supreme Court decision, the Ledbetter legislation were about. Should we think of pay decisions made on the basis of discriminatory criteria as only one act that began when the initial discrimination occurred? That was what the Supreme Court thought. Or do they renew each time somebody gets a paycheck? That's what the law had been before that under Bazemore, and that's what Congress changed it back to. You don't disagree, of course, that the plaintiff's suit was pending at the time the Ledbetter Act was passed.
No, that's not our contention. Our contention is that the seniority system as a whole was not discriminatory against anyone.
But it is, of course, now, because there's one rule of seniority that's being applied to Mr. Schluter, and there's a different rule of seniority that's being applied to the three plaintiffs before us. And Mr. Schluter's rule, if you will, the plaintiffs assert, is one that's tainted by race discrimination. The language of the ordinance, it's the last of these million whereas clauses, says, whereas it is in the public interest to have a diversity in the ranks of the Springfield Police Department. Now, I don't know whether, when all is said and done, the plaintiffs would be able to prove that that's discriminatory, but if it is, then there are two seniority systems, not one.
No, there's just one seniority system.
No, there are two, because Mr. Schluter got his credit.
Well, he was given a retroactive leave of absence, which would allow him
and,
to...
And nobody else was. That's that's the whole issue. Maybe race made the difference, maybe it's not, but that's clearly a jury issue on this record, right?
Whether race was a motivating factor?
Judge Scott found, not a motivating factor, but decisive. Judge Scott made that decision, right?
That's correct. She made that decision, but there are other factors in the ordinance that go beyond just... It wasn't race, it was diversity.
Right, and if you go back for a trial on the merits, then you and Mr. Baker are going to have that debate in front of a jury about what made the difference.
Correct.
Okay.
So again, what we see this as, not as a dual seniority system, but a seniority system which is neutral on its face and which gives the effect of allowing someone to receive their benefits based on a system that is fair and
discriminatory. Can you imagine us accepting that argument if the races were reversed here? If the white officers were getting the favorable treatment and the black officers were being told, no, you've got to start back at the bottom of the staircase?
Well, I don't think, you know, I think we keep talking about the race of these individuals, and I don't see it as a race type of case. How I see it is that this officer, who happens to be black, was gone from the agency, the department, for approximately 90 days. And then prior to his return, he requested that he be allowed to come back, whereas the other officers were gone for a number of years.
But right. The problem with that position, as I see it, is that the actual passage of this ordinance shows that something beyond the ordinary had to happen in order to let Officer Schluter come back. Or get the retroactive leave of absence, however you want to phrase it, so that his time of service would be dated from his first initial date, not from his time of return. And, you know, I wonder, you know, if this ordinance had said, rather than beating around the bush, if they had said in the final thing, whereas it is in the interest of Springfield to have more African Americans on the police force, could we possibly say that, you know, okay, the city has decided to give a break, and, you know, maybe for all kinds of good reasons, but that's the jury issue. It's troubling that we do not have equal treatment here. There is no retroactive leave of absence, despite the many requests that the plaintiffs before us made for one.
Okay, two things. To your first point, in the ordinance, it does say, whereas it is in the public interest to have diversity in the ranks of the Springfield Police Department, and there's evidence in the record that shows at the time that Officer Schluter was brought back to the department, there were 278 officers. Only 12 were African American.
Oh, please don't misunderstand me, Mr. Martinez. I am in no way criticizing a motive to try to improve diversity. That's an issue for another case and another day. Nobody, I at least, am not making that point. But the issue that is before us is whether the city of Springfield is entitled to give this kind of break to people of one race and at the same time not give it to people of other races.
Well, these plaintiffs could have gone to the city council and requested it, to one of the members of the city council. They didn't do that. The reason this came about is because one alderman had spoken either to Mr. Schluter or his father, or had read about what was going on and went ahead on his own initiative to do this ordinance. Certainly these plaintiffs had the same opportunity if they felt that
that's like saying it's okay to discriminate against people if they have failed to exhaust all sorts of internal remedies protesting discrimination. I'm not sure that's the rule.
No, I'm not espousing that, Your Honor. What I'm trying to say is that there was such a long period of time that
which
had gone
on. Which
might
be an objective reason. I was a little surprised that wasn't being argued more. But in any event, if it's before the jury, I'm sure the city would say that Mr. Schluter wasn't similarly situated to the others because his period of time away was quite short as opposed to the other people. But that's not what's before us. The question before us is whether summary judgment was right.
We feel it is, because if you look at the fact where this alleged discrimination occurred, it would be at the passage of the ordinance, not each paycheck that each person received. Because that,
what are you doing with the – why isn't the Ledbetter legislation – I guess I still don't understand why you think it doesn't apply, since its precise purpose is to give a new claim each time a paycheck is received.
Yes, I understand that, and I agree with that. But
people were still on the police force.
Correct.
So they were getting paychecks.
Right.
After the ordinance was passed.
Right. But their cause of action didn't start in December of 2002, when, as Mr. Baker indicated,
it start with each paycheck, 2004 in January, 2004 in February, and on.
No, it was back in when the ordinance was passed, and I think it's analogous to the...
Why? I don't know.
For purposes of this section, an unemployment practice occurs each time wages, benefits, or other compensation is paid.
Correct.
Ledbetter Act, Section 3A.
Yes, I'm aware of it.
Your okay. Honor,
and I appreciate you reading
okay.
it. But
well, I mean, I guess maybe you should. We certainly understand that's your position. I'm not sure we're getting anywhere, so is there anywhere... Any other points you want to address?
Certainly. I think this case is analogous to United Airlines versus Evans, where the Supreme Court stated in that case that when the airline stewardess was let go in a discriminatory manner and then came back to her job and requested the seniority that she had lost, it was denied. And the court rejected the plaintiff's claim that the seniority system had a continuing impact on her rights and benefits upon reemployment, because they found that it was the act of letting her go that occurred previous several years earlier was a discrete act. It wasn't a continuing type of violation. And the court reasoned that there was no present violation and the continuing impact of a neutral seniority system did not produce a continuing violation. Thus, the operation of a non-discriminatory seniority system like we have here...
Well, but that's the problem. I mean, I think you assume that the seniority system is non-discriminatory, but I think you've agreed that it operated one way for Mr. Schluter and it operated a different way for the three white police officers.
No, I think it operates under contract.
Schluter got to count his old service. They didn't.
That's only because he was granted this retro leave of absence.
Yeah. Does it matter whether it was an ordinance or a decision by the chief of police?
Well, I think they're not similar situated because you've got several. These other officers were back on the force for several years, and then now they're requesting that they be allowed to have this retroactive effect applied to them, where Mr. Schluter was only gone for a short period of time, 90 days approximately, where these gentlemen were gone, the plaintiffs were gone, for a number of years.
Okay.
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Martinez. Anything further, Mr. Baker?
Just one brief remark, and I don't know that it goes to the merits of what's before this court on appeal, but it is true that Mr. Schluter was gone a relatively short period of time. It is also true that my clients, when they were away from the city for a relatively short period of time, sought the opportunity to come back.
The record discloses that?
Yes, it does. Okay. And unlike Officer Schluter, they were told if they want to come back, they go as if they had never worked for the police department before. You come in as a new hire, you go through all the testing, you get on an eligibility list, and then eventually you become an officer. And that's what they did. They started over. They didn't dispute that. That was a system as it existed then. They came in and they started at the bottom of the payroll. Officer Allen, when he came back, thought he would get his years of service back. He didn't, and he filed a grievance, which went to arbitration, and he lost. You know, he lost, he went on. Officer Gresh went to his alderman when he had discovered that Champaign had adopted an ordinance allowing police officers, if left in good standing, to come back, and he asked if they could do that for him. His alderman took it up with the other alderman, and they decided that wasn't something they wanted to do. And my point simply is, this is not a situation where you have three police officers who kind of rested on their laurels, saw that Schluter got a good deal, and said, me too. They did precisely the same thing he did at about the same time he did to try and come back, but were not allowed to do that.
Your theory doesn't depend on any of that, though.
No, it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.